God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is actually the appointed psalm for today, and it's picked up in our introit, Psalm 110, verse 1. The words which we probably have heard many times, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This is our text. Let me begin by first of all saying thank you for attending, taking the extra time in your busy lives, wanting to attach yourselves to what is pure and holy, God's Word, along with God's Word as it's attached to bread and wine, for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith, as we are here being served by the divine, seeking his strength and his mercy as we face our daily lives and the struggle of sin that we all bear. We know we live in a world that is marked with sin, and because of it, we need all the help we can get. But what happens when that sin or that anger and frustration of someone else or the world comes directly at you? What do we do with that? Do we take it personally? Or do we realize what it really is? You see, today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, Christ's death, his resurrection, his ascension, showing that, yes, Jesus did conquer sin, death, and the devil. And starting this last weekend, there was another attack on this beautiful doctrine of ours. It's not a new attack, just a little bit of an old attack. Many of you may know, or some of you may even have seen the movie, The Da Vinci Code, where within that movie, Dan Brown, even though he claims that the characters are only fictional, the rest of it is true, fills us and the readers and the watchers of the movie with lots of lies. Lies that actually contradict exactly this day we want to celebrate, the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The two greatest lies of the Da Vinci Code is one, that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and number two, that Jesus was just a mortal until 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea, where they made him a god. Well, let me pick up on the first one, that Jesus married Mary Magdalene. From 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, if that event actually occurred, I don't think the Apostle Paul would have written 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 through the Holy Spirit. He writes, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife. Basically, the assumption here that Dan Brown would like you to get to think is that Jesus was married. And if he was married, then he obviously can't be really true God. And if he was married, according to Paul here, there might have been some implication thereof that Jesus had some sin, or at least was struggling with sin, hence the need to be married. Needless to say, history does correctly report that Jesus was never married. Point number two, Jesus is mortal until 325 AD, the Council of Nicaea. Again, Dan Brown gets his facts a little mixed up. The Council of Nicaea really pointed out that Jesus was true God from eternity. That was the real debate, not whether he ever was God or not. Both of these points that Dan Brown would wish us to accept would have us deny the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. How can the publisher do this? Plain and simple, to make money. Except for, down the line, how many Christians will lose their faith because of this? Unfortunately, there are going to be many. While we're struggling with sin in this world, we have to realize we have a Savior. A Savior who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. A Savior who has conquered all that is bad to give us eternal life, so that those who believe and trust in him have eternal life. At this time, I know I'm going to interrupt the sermon for a moment. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to wear my robe right now, but that's, I won't go into details. But it was a good sermon. And I do remember where I left off, so thank you for my being so patient with my little bit of diversion here. But I was trying to set the stage that as Dan Brown is attacking the Christian church with his book, The Da Vinci Code, we should not get defensive about this. Plain and simple, we believe in a Savior who has defeated sin, death, and the devil, as our text for today says, that he will take his enemies and make them a footstool for his feet. This basically means that, yes, all the enemies will be Christ's footstool. So who is more powerful? Jesus the Christ. Who is the one who defeated sin, death, and the devil? Jesus the Christ. Who is the one that gives us the victory over sin, death, and the devil? Jesus the Christ. So then why should the Christian church worry about Dan Brown and his novel? Plain and simple, we really should not. Actually, a little bit later on, I'll even tell you that I'm actually a little thankful that such a novel exists, but hold on for that for a moment. So as we take a look at this concept, we have to realize who is really being attacked. You see, very often as Christians, we want to start thinking that anything that attacks Christ and Him crucified, we start wanting to take personally because this is our faith. Well, fair enough, we were baptized into Christ, we bear the name of Christ, but plain and simple, folks, you are not God. It is Christ who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. It is Christ who's true man and God. It's not you. So as we take a look at this concept, it is Christ who defeats the enemies, not you. Your job is just to share Christ, to share the love, the forgiveness that He has given to you. Let's put it this way. You are not God. Sometimes people may ask, but Pastor, how can God allow this to happen? Why does God allow something like Dan Brown to come and to create so much turmoil? What about those weak Christians who fall away? Well, Martin Luther, strangely enough, had not a Dan Brown to deal with, but other people. He says, you might wish to ask further, why does he ignore all for such a long time and allow those enemies to become so numerous, so strong and mighty, and to rave and rage against the Christians for such a long time that it would seem to be endless? Could he not quickly stop them or at once make an end of them all so that either they would be stopped or none of them would be left? He has the answer. He does this specifically for our benefit. Now, before you start thinking that Martin Luther just had a little too much of Katie's beer here at this moment, let me explain it and sort of paraphrase where Luther was going to with all this. Basically, picking up what St. Peter says in his second letter, the third chapter, the ninth verse, on why God is taking such a long time to come, and the answer to that is God wants as many as possible to be saved. Why does God allow evil to exist, for evil even to harm His church? Ultimately, He knows where He's at. Where is Christ? Today we celebrate the Ascension. He's at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Who can touch Him up there? And if they could, what could they do to Him? They already crucified Him once. He defeated death, didn't He? Plain and simple, why would Christ worry about it? He knows that in the end, He is going to be triumphant. Why is He waiting for the Word of God to go out to more people? For more people to understand that, yes, He is Almighty, He is all-powerful, He is the Christ, and through Him we have the forgiveness of sins. This is the message that the church gets to take. Even with all the Dan Browns in the world attacking the church, we shouldn't get defensive. We shouldn't take it personally. You can't do anything to Christ. He's not going to be beaten up more because of Dan Brown. Quite the opposite. Let me get to the point where this Dan Brown's novel is actually a good thing and his movie. In today's time, especially in the United States of America, sharing of one's faith has become a little bit more difficult. Dan Brown just made it really easy. You could say to a friend, hey, to your neighbor, have you read The Da Vinci Code? Did you see the movie? What do you think about it? What a great opportunity and lead-in to sit there and hear what they first have to say about it and then to witness and to share your faith. then afterwards. It's a great door opener to a beautiful Christian conversation. So let's not take it personally. You see, if we take this stuff personally, we put ourselves at the same level of where the devil is at. He wants us to take it personally. Why? Because he wants us to defend. Why does he want us to defend the Christian faith? Because all of a sudden, I'm no longer running under the shelter of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm stepping out on my own. Now he can have fun with me. Now he can sit there and cause me and tempt me and would probably lead me into sin. But as long as I'm in Christ and him crucified, I shouldn't fear what the Dan Browns of this world have to say. So when we feel the fiery darts of the devil, we need to return to the Word of God, that sure Word. That Word of God that took on flesh and blood. That Word of God that made His dwelling among us. That Word of God that gives you strength. See, the Lord knows we need that strength. That's why I started off the beginning of this message in thanking you for attending. Because as we come to hear God's Word, we come to attach ourselves to that which is pure and holy. We come to attach ourselves to the ones who does provide strength, the forgiveness of sins. We come to attach ourselves to the one that provides life, because he is the only one who has conquered death. This day, we don't take the attacks of Dan Brown personally, but realize that through Christ, all his enemies will be put under his feet. And this doesn't just work for the Christian church. This also works for us in our daily lives because, let's put it this way. How many times have we driven and someone cuts us off? Did they cut you off because they honestly don't like you? Did they cut you off because of your hairstyle, because of the way that you look, because of the clothes, because of the type of car you're driving? No, they cut you off because they were in a hurry. Don't take it personally. But as human beings, that sinful nature wants us to take things personally, and we get defensive about things. Again, we have to remember Psalm 110, verse 1. God has conquered sin, death, and the devil. He will put all these things under the feet of Jesus. There is complete victory for those who are in Christ because Christ has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Basically, let's not sweat the small stuff, so to speak. Let's trust in him who is crucified. Him who, as the church celebrates, rose from this earth again and is now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Do we not believe that this day of ascension really took place? Do we not believe that, yes, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? He is the King of kings and Lord of lords? If that is the case, we shouldn't take this personally because nothing can harm you. Yes, something can harm your physical body. Yes, take away your possessions can cause you great pain, but no one can take the faith away from you. No one can take that trust relationship you have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No one can take that forgiveness of sins away from you. The devil is trying to convince you to take it personally so that you leave the protection of Christ and then fall prey to his wiles. So this day, we remember the ascension. We give great praise and thanks to our Lord for all he has done, for his victory over sin, death, and the devil, and giving us that victory through holy baptism, through his word, and assuring us of that victory as we partake of his supper, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.